Reavers by William Faulkner, chapters 7 and 8. By the time we get to this portion of the novel, we have to consider that we're seeing the underbelly of Memphis life. And the setting is important as we analyze the text and watch for character development. The setting consistently is altering how we are viewing the characters and how they interact with one another. The character of Sam is really important because while Boone seems to be upset with his existence in the novel and in these scenes, Sam doesn't seem to have a problem with Boone. And while they don't see eye to eye, we get the sense that Sam is essential to not only moving the story along, but moving the horse into the boxcar and getting this horse race on, which is essential to this sort of comedic situation we find ourselves in. Boone has a major problem with Sam. He has a problem with everybody who appears in this novel who has a relationship with Miss Corey. Miss Corey seems to have a relationship with multiple people due to her job as a prostitute, which we would understand, but everyone seems to understand and acknowledge the fact that it's Boone who has more of a relationship with Miss Corey, that it stretches beyond the transactional nature of her employment. So we need to think about that everyone seems to know this. Everyone seems to acknowledge that Boone doesn't have the money to support her fully. With that being said, we have to remember that Boone is also acting very childish and is thinking really just where he can take this relationship in the short term while whining about the long term as well. We're also seeing Lucius here. And when we think about Lucius and his evolution, by the end of chapter 8, he is admitting to the reader that there was a complete loss of childhood by the end of this section. And this is an important part to consider, that by the time we get to the end of chapter 8, he feels like he has completely lost his innocence to the point where there is no return. His childhood is over in his eyes. So what happens along the way here to get him to that point? The first thing that happens is the interactions with Otis are incredibly bad. He doesn't like Otis. Otis keeps lying to him. Otis says that he's 10 years old. Then we find out that he was telling people he was 12. And then it's revealed later that he's 15. So we have a kid who's 15 years old, lying to everyone. He tells Lucius this story about how he made money back in Arkansas with his aunt, Miss Corey. Miss Corey doesn't know this, but he was selling basically a peep show for people to watch Miss Corey while she was doing her job or while she was changing. And all that was going on. And this infuriates Lucius. He feels like her honor has been questioned, and he needs to make sure he's defending her. And they get into a fight, and he goes right after Otis, and Otis pulls out a knife. And in the scramble, while Lucius is able to beat up Otis a little bit, enough where people have to separate him, he is cut by this knife on the hand. And the joke is made that at this point, this boy's only been in Memphis for a few hours, and he's gotten into a fight. He's been in a brothel, and now he's been slashed with a knife. Lucius at this point is still very upset about all this. And we're seeing the fact that we're seeing two different characters in Otis and Lucius in many ways contradicting one another, in the sense that we have the boy who grew up with a well-off family established through the farmland in this simple country town versus Otis, who's been growing up in and out of brothels now with his aunt. And we see the behavior of both kids, and we have to consider the fact that there is an easy compare and contrast between the two of them. Otis not seeing anything wrong with the peep show that he was providing for other kids or other adults during this time period speaks to the fact that the industry that we were finding Otis consistently in and the types of people that he was interacting with speaks to the character that he is today in this scene. Lucius, on the other hand, is really not used to being in these situations, has never been around people like this, has never sort of seen the dark side of life, if you want to consider it that. And ultimately, we see the fact that it's Lucius who feels like her honor is way more important than anyone making any profit along the way. And we have to ask ourselves, why is Lucius feeling this way about Miss Corey? Miss Corey is a prostitute. She has been nice to him. But they haven't had enough interaction for this to feel like maybe Lucius needs to stand up for. But this is what we need to think about with Lucius, that he just sees good for the sake of good. He knows she's a good person. He's not willing to sort of judge her. And I think that's the thing we have got to consider, is that he is not willing to judge her at any point in time. He just knows that she's connected to Boone. He's not going to judge her for her profession. She's completely being judged by Lucius just as the person that she presents herself to him. And that's what's most important. And he takes a special interest in her. And by standing up for her, Miss Corey decides that this is a huge moment for her. Someone has stood up for her, and she makes him a promise that she's going to change her ways, which comedically gets Boone all upset, because now there's another roadblock in his way, just in the short term of what he's trying to physically accomplish with Miss Corey, and then also long term what he's trying to accomplish with her. So now she's going to work her way out of being a prostitute, basically saying that this is the end. She's not going to do this anymore. She's not going to blame others. She's going to take responsibility for herself, and there's no more excuses. And this is all is brought on to us and Miss Corey by Lucius. So by one kid standing up for her, it makes her reevaluate her life and gives her confidence that, yes, somebody cares about her that stretches beyond her sexuality. And I think that's what we got to consider in this scene and what this represents. When we get to chapter 8, we're finally seeing Miss Corey as a person beyond just being a prostitute and her connection with Boone. She's now going by Everby, and she's going to present herself in a different way immediately to the reader. So you have to watch from this section on how she presents herself to the reader, how she interacts with Lucius, and how she interacts with Boone and the other men in the story. And while she does get pulled back into her current profession, she is moving towards a new direction, and we're going to see that as the novel progresses. The next big thing we got to deal with is they're trying to figure out who's going to be the jockey. And they start with Lucius, and they ask Otis. It goes back and forth, and it's still unclear by the time we get to the end of chapter 8 how they're going to get this horse to run, but ultimately believing that Lucius is going to have to be riding this horse. Otis is not trustworthy. He keeps asking for more money. And Lucius's attempt, while they haven't been very strong, they do offer at least Ned and everyone else the confidence that someone can ride this horse properly. And we get a lot of decent details about Ned trying to figure out how to make this horse run to win these races. And he's got some ideas. And he believes the horse was ran improperly the previous couple times. To wrap up this section, and what is the most important takeaway here at the very end, is the introduction to the story of the character of Butch. Butch is a police officer. He's a dirty cop. And there is references throughout both of these chapters that the police in Memphis need to be paid off for everything. Every little transaction needs to take place with some sort of monetary or even a physical payment for any sort of policing to be done. In this case, Butch shows up. He goes right after Boone. They are generally the same size. He's calling Boone a sugar boy. He's all in his face, and Boone's very flustered, wants to fight him. But there's still this hesitation because of the badge. And it's brought up in the text, and we'll look at it in class, this idea that because Butch is still an authority figure and has the badge, that he has got more weight, even though Boone is ready to go and wants to fight him, and he does not like the way he's treating Everby, who obviously we know is Miss Corey, and the other women in this scene. But Boone is mainly upset because he is constantly being offended by Butch. Butch is also being incredibly racist towards Ned, talking about his race, using the N-word frequently to describe Ned to his face. And Ned is in a position where he's not in a position of power. He just sort of has to work through this, knowing that Butch at this point now needs to be brought in, paid off, and worked with in order to get this horse race properly supported. So everything now hinges on whether or not some agreement can be worked out with Butch, which means Boone's got to swallow his pride. Ned really can't do much due to his status in this Memphis society at this time period, and it's going to fall upon the women of the brothel, particularly Miss Corey, who's got to figure out a way around this situation. But we're going to look at a couple things that Butch says. A lot of it's funny. Some of it's not funny at all and incredibly racist. But his interaction with Butch and Boone, that interaction between the two of them, is complete trash talk. Some of it's funny. Some of it's relatively dark, but we got to understand that we're trying to establish the fact that Butch is now going to be the character we have to work around in this next couple scenes. In this section, in the final little area in chapter 8, we do see Lucius admitting to the reader that this ultimately is the end of his childhood. And we're going to look at that section. We're going to break down that paragraph where he expresses these emotions in a reflective way. And you have to think about what he's gone through in this short period of time really breaks down his idealistic life he was living beforehand. He was very simple. Things were taken care of. He did not see people act with each other in this way. This manner that they are behaving seems completely foreign to him, which is not necessarily a loss of childhood. It's this loss of innocence that he is associating with his childhood. And this is going to be an essential part of chapter 7 and 8 that we have to talk about and break down, because by the end of chapter 8, Lucius no longer feels like he can be a child, and it's because of what has occurred in this very short period of time.